Hello, it's Hamish Kenworthy from Apollo Power Yoga here. In today's talk, we will continue our discussion of the kleshas. The kleshas are obstacles or veils that are drawn down between our conscious awareness and the truth that conceal the truth from us. In our last talk, we gave an overview of the kleshas and a more detailed discussion of the first of the kleshas, avidya, or ignorance. In the second discussion, we will look at, in detail at the second of the kleshas, ahamkara ashmita, or egoism. It seems inevitable to me that egoism will cause suffering. I was born in the body I have, and my experience of the world has been through the relationship of my bodily senses and my environment. It is my skin, that has been burned by hot objects. It is my flesh that has been bruised by hard contact. It is my feelings that have been hurt by harsh words. It is my pride that has been puffed up by praise or undermined by criticism. It is my body that's been infused with a good feeling from yoga practice, by bad feeling from illness. I have never experienced the world through any other person's senses in the same way that I've experienced the world through my own. Reading books, watching documentaries, listening to interviews on the radio, and conversing with other people has given me some understanding of what others have experienced in their lives. But I have not lived those experiences, and I have no first-hand comprehension of those experiences. An example comes in the realms of grief. I am close with my parents. I value them greatly. And I acknowledge their role in my life and the support that they've given me, the opportunities they've generated for me, and all that they've been for me in my life. But both my parents are living. So when someone loses one of their parents, I have an inkling of the hole that that leaves and the grief that they must feel. But I do not feel what they feel. I do not feel that same grief. This self-centric experience is what the sutras warn us of in the context of the kleshas, and in particular in the notion of ahamkara ashmita, or egoism. Ashmita is not confined to excessive pride, conceit, or arrogance, what might be called egotistical behavior or perspective. It extends to a lack of self-worth as well. And beyond that, and more generally, ashmita connotes just what I've described earlier, the tendency to perceive oneself as being at the center of experience, and to perceive events as happening to us, and to take personally the events and happenings around us. From a yogic perspective, conceit is not inherently bad, nor is humility inherently good. In yoga, shame and a lack of self-worth are not bad or wrong, and pride or self-confidence are not good or right. All of these qualities fall into the same error of assuming our perception of ourselves vis-a-vis others, our environment, and indeed the whole world, is the truth. For the sages who contributed to the development of yogic philosophy across time, the essence of oneself is the Purusha, or the Atman. The Purusha is one's own true self and has a pristine, untainted quality. All people at the level of the Purusha are in essence the same. To regard oneself, one's Purusha, as better than or less than another is a mistake of perception, according to the sages. To perceive one's life history as limiting or diminishing one is a mistake. To be defined by one's current experience of the world is a mistake. Against the perspective of all of time and space, the trifles of one's daily mortal existence are nothing. In the present circumstances, and I'm speaking in September 2021, the world is experiencing a pandemic. Countries are experiencing lockdowns and a deprivation of the normal privileges of freedom of movement that we've become accustomed to in the modern world. And some people are reacting in a negative way to that. They're taking it personally. Why is this happening to me? And they're allowing their mood, their emotions, their mental well-being to be adversely affected by their circumstance. They might be affronted at having to wear a mask. They might be insulted by being asked to take a vaccine. They may feel rejected, or they may perceive that they're being asked to participate in a kind of a communal fear when they're told to maintain social distancing. But they are taking it personally. They're not coming from a freedom, a union, a clarity in their Purusha that can survive untainted by, in all circumstances. They're saying, in these circumstances, my sense of self is eroded, is threatened. I am in some way under attack, is their perspective. Now, moving on, the Yoga Sutras do not specifically address the duality question of the immortality, or otherwise, of the soul in the way that the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, does. The Yoga Sutras make no assertion as to an immortal soul, whereas the Gita is predicated upon the basis of the survival of the soul beyond the death of one's mortal body. However, the sutras do assert the purity of one's essence. One's essence cannot be wet by rain, it cannot be pierced by blades, it cannot be burned by fire, it cannot be withered by the wind. One way in which Ashmita plays out is in one's identification with what they do for a job or for a role in life. When I practiced the law, it was part of my role to express an opinion. A client would come to me with a problem, and I had to offer advice as to whether they were on the right or the wrong side of the law, an opinion as to how to proceed to resolve their problem, given the merits of their case and the value in dispute, the issues, and the opportunities. In the role of being advisor, I began to identify with that role and developed a certain arrogance in that role. At the same time, I greatly feared being wrong and would doubt my capacity to give accurate advice. Outwardly, I was egotistical. Inwardly, there was an egoism in Ashmita, and another way, I lacked trust and confidence in myself. In total, I was trapped in the klesha of Ashmita. And I see this happen to other people. When someone takes their identity from what they do, then they lose connection with their true self. Now, while I was practicing the law, I very much took my identity as I am a lawyer. Now, having had several different primary roles in my life, you know, I've been a child growing up, I've been a student at school, at high school, at university, I've been a lawyer, I've been a primary caregiver as a parent, I've been a yoga teacher. I understand myself more as being distinct from what I do. I, me, Hamish, is not what I am presently doing. I understand the better the transience of the activities with which I occupy my days. There are, however, examples of people who become so committed to identifying themselves with what they do that in the event that what they do is taken from them, they experience a crisis of identity with sometimes tragic consequences. Some people experience depression in such circumstances, and there are a number of examples of high-profile sports people who have been known to suffer depression and to experience despair and a loss of identity once they retire or are forced from their sport. In all this, we can see the roots of the remaining clashes. The remaining three are attachment, aversion, and fear, ultimately the fear of death. Taking your sense of self from what you do or who you are creates an attachment to your occupation or an attachment to another person or people. You know, seeing yourself in a particular way can create aversion to those perceived threats to that way or to ideas or people who disagree with you. At this point, referring back to the current pandemic, just yesterday I was speaking with a yoga student and we were discussing the merits of, you know, social distancing, the merits of wearing masks, the merits of vaccination, and she and I were in agreement about those things. We are being vaccinated, we do wear our masks, we do approve of the social distancing to avoid the spread of the illness throughout the community. But she said she hoped that all of this did not create a schism in society where those in support of vaccination and those opposed to vaccination, those in support of lockdowns, those who are opposed to them, those who support mask wearing and protective personal equipment, and those who see it as pointless or futile or ineffective, that there not be a schism between those two groups with a rigid opposition and an enmity between the two groups in society. And she referenced the example of the 1981 Springbok tour by the South African rugby team to New Zealand that was opposed by many on the grounds of the opposition to the apartheid political regime that held sway in South Africa at the time. But there were others who said, politics has nothing to do with sport, we just want the rugby to go ahead. But there were violent clashes between pro-tour and anti-tour supporters. And the contrasting opinions held by the groups created some rigid divides in society. And my student hoped that the same thing would not happen in society as a result of the current pandemic. The danger of it happening is rooted in Ashmita. You're becoming identified with I am a vaccinator or I am not a vaccinator. Becoming identified with that. Are becoming attached to your opinion. Becoming averse to the opinion of others. And ultimately becoming fearful of others. Another example is a person who takes their identity from one religion. They may experience an aversion to those who subscribe to an alternative religious belief. including those with no religious belief, the atheists. Fear also manifests for those who experience a sense of threat to who they are or what they know about themselves or the world. You know, centuries ago, those who believed that the objects we see in the celestial sky all revolved around the earth, which was the center of all things, were threatened and fearful of those who said otherwise, and that the earth revolved around the sun. The anti-communist McCarthy trials of the 1950s in America revealed fear of those who had an ideology other than that of the political mainstream in the United States. In conclusion, more and more, and come from a place of I am, and not a qualified place of I am a, followed by a color or an ethnicity, an income bracket, a size or shape, a gender, a religious affiliation, an occupation, or whatever. It does not matter whether you say to yourself, I am rich, good looking, magnetic in personality, and infallible in judgment, or whether you say, I am unattractive, stupid, and unlovable. In each case, the identity with mortal, transient attributes that are a matter of perception or opinion is flawed and misidentifies you with elements that are not your true self. From the place of I am, in its simplest sense, experience the space to respect yourself and to respect, value, and give space for everyone else. Be well.